Manak, my name's Joey. What a weekend, huh? I love conventions. You know, my clean date's June 21st, 2001. I'm going to take his jacket off, but I'm going to keep my eye on it. Yeah, I went to a sponsee celebration a couple weeks ago, and he asked me to come up, share a few words. It was a step meeting, and, you know, it was a large group, so he's like, you got 10 minutes. 10 minutes is never enough, because if you know anything about me, I'm passionate about recovery. What Narcotics Anonymous has done for my life is so incredible, and I want to give away, if I can give away just one-tenth of what was given to me to somebody who feels hopeless, that's my aim. You know, so I was sharing the message of hope at this meeting, and then a week later I got the call. They're like, hey, you going to the convention? I'm like, yeah, I've been to like 14 out of 16. You know, 14 out of 16 of these conventions I've been to, and when I come down with guides. I'm here to say that I haven't been laid out of any of those 14 or 16 weekends. You know why? Because it ain't that kind of party. When I come down here with a group of guys to get spiritually connected with these guys and to show the newcomers what this fellowship is all about, to connect on a deeper level. You know, we have a meeting every Saturday for about 2 hours. We get to the issues, the current issues in our lives. It's like a daily inventory, right? And what we do is we talk about what's current in our lives for today. And most of the time, you know, there's a newer member who's opening up and getting honest and getting real with the group for the first time. And he opens them up for the help. And the help comes from us, right? But then we also share what's going on with us. And then that opens us up when we come here to the message. Right? We hear the message, but before I hear the message, I got to be open up to what the message is. Right? So, a very spiritual thing, and it gets me into position. I love this, man. So, at this meeting, PG County, they asked me to come lead on the traditions. And you know, I always was like, you know, the traditions are for the more experienced members, right? You know, we'll leave that up to them. You know, because I'm like, you know, and I'm like, what tradition? You know, I'm good with five or three. They're like tradition 11. I'm like, all right, well, I would think that for that, you know, I'm trying to justify this in my mind. I don't know if I'm the best person for this, right? Because I'm not in press, radio, or films. I would think the individual who was in the spotlight would have a better understanding and be able to explain this. Right? So what you get from me is my interpretation and my understanding, right? Because in our readings, it talks about we pick up information as we go to various groups, right? So my experience with the traditions is this, right? After working the 12 steps in the step working guide, my sponsor said, what's next, right? And I said, well, I want to do some work on the traditions. And like at that time, there was no information on the traditions. You know, so I asked him, I said, what do you do? How do you work the traditions? He said, well, you get the green and gold, you read the chapter, and then you write about the spiritual principles in that tradition, then you write about how you apply them in your life, right? And I was like, okay, so I did that, and trust me, that was real easy compared to the step work. You know, that step working guide is, that's no joke, right? So, So that was a preparation, man. You know, I do have an understanding of how these traditions work. You know, I know, you know, my disease tells me that there's people in this room who are much more qualified, and that is the case. But my understanding and my experience is just as valid, you know. So, you know, the traditions, the steps protect me from me, right? So I work the steps and I get an understanding of how they work, right? And that prevents me from killing myself, right? That helps me become a productive member of society. That helps me stop using drugs. I mean, our message is that an addict can lose a desire to use and find a new way to live, right? Well, once I stop using, right, the miracle occurred that the obsession to use was lifted. There was ways that my disease started to manifest itself in different areas. You see, I suffer from a disease that's it affects me internally. And what you see is you see the external manifestation of an internal unmanageability. So what you see is me reaching outside of myself to take something and put it inside of me and think it's going to somehow make me whole or make me better, right? So, you know, I had to do the work, you know. Remained absent for a little while, abstinent, and I hit the ground running, man. I worked 22 steps with one stop, one sponsor. I've worked 44 steps with a sponsor in this program. Then the traditions came. So our traditions protect us from each other, right? They protect us so that we can carry our message. That's our primary purpose in Tradition 5, is to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the Narcotics Anonymous message is carried by the individual. But if we were a secret society, right, and if we stayed in the back rooms like they used to, our word would never get out, right? So what it talks about, like I saw a picture of a rock star one time, and he had an NA shirt, and I was like, wow, I didn't know that, and I'm not going to say their name, I didn't know they were a member. And then it made sense to me that if this individual who is in the media showing the NA emblem and people see Narcotics Anonymous and associate that individual with Narcotics Anonymous, if he fails to stay clean and goes out and uses, they're going to be like, see, I told you, Narcotics Anonymous doesn't work, because the individual is associated in that person's mind to Narcotics Anonymous. And that's why we don't do it. Now look, groups aren't addicted, right? The individuals are the addicted ones. So in order for us to pass along what we have, we have to tell our friends. We have to show that this program works. So how do we do it? It's about attraction, not promotion. You know, I don't stand on a rooftop and say, hey, I broke the chains of addiction in my life. I grew up without a father. My father left when I was 3 years old because he couldn't stop using drugs. My mother raised me and two girls by myself, right? I broke the chains of addiction. I'm raising a little boy by myself, you know, because of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't stand on top of a rooftop to say that to people. You know what I do? I lead by example. I live my life, and people see me living a life that's different from the way that I used to. And they're like, they don't really know what's going on, but they know something good is going on, right? And then the people who are really in the know, right, and they ask me, I can tell them what's up. You know, my where I work, they don't know I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, right? I don't go there and I don't put that stuff out there. That's like, I will, if I see somebody struggling, right, I will go to them and I will tell them my story, you know, and my story is to help them, you know. This program is awesome, man. You know, I want to talk about the attraction and how it works. And I want to talk about how when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I got clean in Baltimore, Maryland. You know, that's where I grew up, born and raised. I'll always be a Baltimore boy. I live in Virginia now. But anyway, there was this individual, you know, I like the saying, water seeks its own level, right? So like I was in that period of time where staying clean was on one side of the fence and using was on the other side of the fence, and determined if I had money would determine on which side of the fence I fell on, if you know what I mean. So I was going to meetings because I didn't have any money, right? And I saw this individual, right? This individual who I saw do a lot of crappy things, right? I was going into low-income housing projects, right? And this guy would run a house for like a month or two at a time, and you know, he was fat at the beginning of the month, if you know what I mean. He got that check at the beginning of the month, and then when the rent was due at the end of the month, he would move somewhere else and run another house. And I've seen this individual do a lot of cruddy shit. He got one time we went somewhere, he got locked up, I didn't. You know, I heard of him shooting people and doing a lot of dirty stuff, right? So the way I am is I surrounded myself with people who were worse than me, right? So that I could compare and I would say, I ain't that bad. I must have it going on, right? Right, I ain't that bad, right? So then when I saw this individual in Narcotics Anonymous, the message was carried right there, right then and there. When I saw him and he said he had 2 years, that was the attraction. That was the attraction because I saw him with my own eyes. I knew what he did. And then I saw him in Narcotics Anonymous and he had 2 years clean. It was truly unbelievable, you know? But, you know, it was working for him. And I'm not going to say I got clean in next day, but what I am going to say is that the seed was set, right? The seed was set and that there was a maybe. Maybe Narcotics Anonymous could work in my life. You know, a little while ago, I talked about the attraction part for me. I wanted to exercise my Second Amendment. I wanted to go get a gun, right? So I went to the gun show, and I filled out the application, and I turned it in. I proceeded to go around and pick out my gun, two extra mags, and a bunch of bullets, and it was taking a long time back there for them to bring my application back out. And when they did, there was an officer there. He said, "Sir, can we see you in the back?" So I went in the back, and you know, man, I've seen this before. There was one shorter cop, right, who was telling me what was going on, and there was three taller cops circling, like they were like huddling around, right? And he was telling me, "Well, sir, we did a investigative report on your background, and this charge showed up, and it's questionable what it is, and we're going to charge you with falsifying a document. It's a class 5 felony." I'm like, you know, and like when you're justifiably, dude, I've been locked up a lot of times, but I ain't never been locked up for nothing I did. I mean, nothing I did not do, right? You know how it is. There's, the jail's full of honest people, right? So this was one of those times where I was being locked up for something I didn't do, right? But because I've been locked up all them times for the things that I did do, and I was like, I didn't do that, you know? That wasn't me. I felt like this was like my turn. It was my turn to show up for life and to show what I had become. You know, I'm like, look, you know, because as he's telling me, my voice is getting louder and louder, and the cops are getting closer and closer. And I was like, look, tell me what you want me to do. He says, "I want you to put your hands behind your back." I'm like, all right. My hands went behind my back. I'm like, look, you got it wrong, right? So long story short, I just got that cleared up. I had to drive to Baltimore, spend some time looking through some microfilm. In 1987, I was arrested on North Avenue for a controlled dangerous substance charge, and that's what it showed. What it didn't show, what the charge was, it was a misdemeanor. It wasn't a felony. So I go to court, right, and I show up at court, and I'm a smart ass man. I go up, and it's a hearing to see if I need a judge, right? I'm standing before this judge. He says, "Sir, you know what your charges are, right? It's a class 5 felony, faces 5 to 10 years in jail." I'm like, "I'd like to waive my right to an attorney." He says, "Sir, you understand the circumstances here." I'm like, "Yes, sir, but can I ask you a question?" I said, the onus falls on the state to prove me guilty. Well, in fact, when they try to prove me guilty, they're going to prove me innocent, right? And he says, "Sir, that's the route you want to take?" Yeah, I'm like, "Yes." So that's the route I took. I declined a lawyer. I drove up to Baltimore. I got the piece of paper stamped, and I went to court. And I did this before in another case. I went up to the state's attorney, you know, before the trial, and I was like, "Hey, are you state's attorney?" You know, said my name. I said, "This is what's going on." She said, whoa, you know I'm prosecuting you, right? And I said, yes, I'm aware of that. She goes, let me talk to the officer first. So the officer came in, they did a little huddle. She said, okay, let me see what you got. I showed her the paper, which proved my innocence. You know, she called me up right away and said, you know, we're going to dismiss this case. You know, and that's like when I walked out of there, I didn't feel like I had to say, see, you got that one wrong. Or you know, I just walked out of there, even though I was inconvenienced a great deal. That's what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me. It has taught me to show up in spite of how I feel. Even though inside I wanted to act out and I wanted to tell these people what I thought of them, I didn't. You know, and I learned that in Narcotics Anonymous. That didn't come in me, you know. That was a powerful situation for me. You know, this is a bittersweet time for me right now because there's an individual who, you know, the greatest gift I have is the gift of recovery. But I've been given some other gifts here, and one of the gifts is to walk some other men through this process. And, you know, one time I had like 8 to 10 sponsees, and there was about 4 of them that really stuck. And 4 of them, I worked them all through the 12 steps, right? The 4 of them, you know, that went through their disillusioned times where I took the phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. I helped them sort through their confusion. I was there when they used and said, it's okay, just keep coming back. You know, I got a set of key tags that go from my head all the way down to my toe. I put it together when I had about 4 years clean, and I put together my journey in this key tag ring. And I'm not kidding, it's 4 foot long, right? And it's got a lot of white key tags in there. You know, and I told the individuals, I said, look, just keep coming back. I didn't get this right away. Relapse isn't a necessity, but it's part of my story. So don't give up. And he didn't give up. And he worked all 12 steps. And he moved out of the area. And I told him, you're probably going to have to get a new sponsor. You know, because I felt like I had brought him as far as I could. You know, and it's hard to describe without getting too choked up, because when you spend time and you give yourself to someone else, you know, freely, just like someone gave to me, somebody else helped me along through my period of confusion. Somebody else took my phone calls when I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. And somebody else reinforced in me that this program would work for me if I just believed that it would work for me. You know, I was that person for that guy. You know, and he told me he's getting another sponsor. So that's awesome, because I also told him when he asked me to be his sponsor that it was up to him to tell me that if he wasn't getting what he needed, you know, that it wouldn't hurt my feelings. So he has told me that, and he's moving on. And, you know, we stop at Sam's Club. A 3-hour trip takes us 6 hours coming down. We stopped at Safeway. We stopped at Walmart. We stopped at Costco. We got like $400 worth of food, you know. We fixed a nice prime rib, and all of us guys sit around, and we eat great. You know, and I'm going to miss that, Mark. I love you, man, and I'm proud of the man you have become. That's like, I'm just proud of you, man. That's awesome. And if you haven't experienced walking someone through their dark period, just keep coming back, you know, because it can work for you. Thanks for letting me share.